tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله. This is your favorite, I would say, the topic of discussion. Actually, this is something that we often find ourselves trapped in. And wherever we turn, whichever direction we go in, you find ourselves bombarded with this kind of, you know, thought process and people's views and opinions. And yes, we are talking about materialism, the disease of materialistic love. Stay with us in this beautiful topic of discussion. And I have with me Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah Sayyidi for joining me once again. Alhamdulillah. And now, before we dive into our today's discussion, let's first and foremost remind ourselves to recite Salat al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And for that, I would humbly request our guest of honor to please extol the virtues of reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perhaps a hadith or a parable.
Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawasab, the virtues and the excellences of Durood Sharif, of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is so immense, it is so great. And regarding, you know, the virtues of reciting Durood Sharif upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that once there was a particular individual from Bani Israel, and this individual, he was so sinful that people, they did not want to have any sort of relation with him. They did not want to have anything to do with him whatsoever because of the amount of sins that he would commit. How he would disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he died, then the people, because of being, you know, disgusted by him, they took his body and they threw it into a dump yard. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam and told him that, "O Musa, my servant, my slave is at so and so place. Go there, pick his body up, give him ghusl, shroud him, and give him, you know, a proper burial." So Musa alayhi salam, he does as he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, what is the wisdom behind all of this?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, "Oh Musa, indeed this person, this individual, he was sinful. He disobeyed me day and night. Always he would be continually, you know, indulged in sins. But one day the same person, he opened the Torah Sharif. And when he opened the Torah, he came across the name of my beloved Habib Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did he do? This individual, he recited salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and kissed the name of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Musa, it is for this reason that I have forgiven all of his sins and granted him Jannah. Subhanallah." Now this is the reward that an individual from the nation of Bani Israel received by sending and reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And imagine if we, as the nation, as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how pleasing it is to Allah. By us sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will be our reward? You know, as we are the followers and the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah. Yes, this is the benefit of reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine if a person of Bani Israel, who is not even from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is the Ummati of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and his nation, Bani Israel.
Right.
And his reward, when he recites Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is saved from the torments of hell. And the Nabi of Bani Israel, he is commanded to go and give him proper burial by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just by this action of his, that he showed love and reverence to the beautiful name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kissed it and he recited Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine what would be our state if we, as his ummah, we recite Durood Sharif wholeheartedly in the court of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without further ado, let's all recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, reverting back to our topic of discussion, and that is the disease of materialistic love. Yes, how often do we find ourselves judging others, somebody, you know? For example, if you see in some circles, in some, you know, high society circles, a certain dress code is a symbol of honor.
Jee.
A certain brand is a symbol of honor. People now judge each other on the basis of what type of clothes he wears, what brand of clothing does he wear. It's no more having decent clothes. No, what brand of clothes are you wearing? What brand of shoes are you wearing? What brand of hat are you wearing?
To the extent that, you know, some don't even want to wear because it's not branded.
Exactly. So in order to have a personality, a respectable personality, to have your honor, you need to attach yourself to a brand. Is that what it has come to now? I remember my ustad used to tell us that, you know, sometimes people value you not for who you are, for what you have. For example, you are driving an expensive car, luxury car.
Right.
And somebody sees you in that car. Wow, this person owns this beautiful car. I must get his autograph. I must get to know him. I must get to make salam to him. This is your motivation to make salam to somebody? Allahu Akbar. On the basis of what this person has. Sometimes we maybe have high positions. Due to that, people are overwhelmed. Oh, this person is on that post. He is the minister and he is on a certain high post in a society, in a company. And due to that, people will come and pay you respect, but not for who you are. People must be impressed by your akhlaq, by your inner beauty, by your character.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, looking at what type of car you drive, what type of clothes you wear, right? How much bank balance do you have? All of this is secondary, but this has become our primary focus. This is the dilemma.
It's like, you know, it's valuing like someone's wealth or someone's possessions instead of valuing the person themselves.
Exactly. Some people may judge you on the basis of what type of house do you have. Whether you have triple story house, whether you have big bungalow or big mansion that you're living in, then, you know, this person is worthy of respect. That earns you respect. And what happens when you don't have that? Then all that respect goes away. Why? Because you had something attached to you that was worthy of respect for in people's eyes, by the way. And now you no more have that. And nowadays, we are striving to maintain our status of living.
According to other people.
Yes, according to others' standard. That, you know what, I must drive a certain type of car, I must wear a certain type of clothing, I must have this much bank balance in my account just to boost my self-worth. Allahu Akbar. Do we really have self-worth if we have to attach ourselves to these materialistic things? We need to think carefully. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we have a beautiful kalam for you. Wah kya judo karam hai, shahe batha tera. And it is recited by the devotee of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Haji Abdullah bin Battari sallamahul bari. Inshallah, we are going to listen to the kalam and we'll be back after the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
کون ہے جن کے در پر مانگنے والا نہیں نہیں سنتا؟ وہ کون ہے جن کی رحمت کا دریا خود پیاسوں کو تلاش کرتا ہے؟ وہ کون ہے جن کے اشارے سے لاکھوں کی شفاعت ہو جائے گی؟ وہ کون ہے جو محشر کے دن اپنے غلاموں کو اپنے ہاتھوں سے جام کوثر عطا فرمائے؟ یقیناً وہ کوئی اور نہیں، جود و کرم والے، سخاوت والے، رحمت والے رب کے حبیب ہمارے آقا ہیں۔
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا، نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا۔ واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا، نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا۔
دار چلتے ہیں عطا کے، وہ ہے قطرہ تیرا۔ تیرا تارے کھلتے ہیں سخا کے، وہ ہے ذرہ تیرا۔ تارے کھلتے ہیں سخا کے، وہ ہے ذرہ تیرا۔
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا، نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا۔
فیض ہے یا شہ تسنیم نرالا تیرا، فیض ہے یا شہ تسنیم نرالا تیرا۔ آپ پیاسوں کے تجسس میں ہے دریا تیرا، آپ پیاسوں کے تجسس میں ہے دریا تیرا۔
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا، نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا۔
میں تو مالک ہی کہوں گا کہ ہو مالک کے حبیب، میں تو مالک ہی کہوں گا کہ ہو مالک کے حبیب، یعنی محبوب و محب میں نہیں میرا تیرا، یعنی محبوب و محب میں نہیں میرا تیرا۔
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا، نہیں سنتا رہنے والا تیرا
فرش والے تیری شوکت کا علو کیا جانے فرش والے تیری شوکت کا علو کیا جانے خسروا عرش پہ اڑتا ہے پھریرا تیرا خسروا عرش پہ اڑتا ہے پھریرا تیرا
واہ کیا جو تیرا میں ہی سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
آسمان خان زمین خان زمانہ خان زمانہ مہمان صاحب خانہ لقب کس کا ہے تیرا تیرا صاحب خانہ لقب کس کا ہے تیرا تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا میں ہی سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
ایک میں کیا کی حقیقت کتنی ایک میں کیا میرے عصیاں کی حقیقت کتنی مجھ سے سو لاکھ کو کافی ہے اشارہ تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا میں ہی سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
تیرے صدقے مجھے ایک بوند بہت ہے تیری تیرے صدقے مجھے ایک بوند بہت ہے تیری جس دن چھوکو ملے جام چھلکتا تیرا جس دن چھوکو ملے جام چھلکتا تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا میں ہی سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
تیری سرکار میں لاتا ہے رضا اس کو شفیع تیری سر شفیع جو میرا غوث ہے اور لاڈلا بیٹا تیرا جو میرا غوث ہے اور لاڈلا بیٹا تیرا واہ کیا جو تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہبت ہا تیرا سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویوئرز. سبحان اللہ, وی ہیو بین لسننگ دس بیوٹیفل کلام. واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ بتہا تیرا, نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا. الحمدللہ, as our topic of discussion is the disease of materialistic love. Yes, and it is a sort of disease that is been rampant and it's widespread throughout our society. Wherever you see, you'll find the examples of it. And Tawa Ustaz told us a story, Sayyidi.
Jee.
And he said that there was an honorable person, a respectable person. People respected him in the society. And he was in the habit of wearing top-notch clothes, you know, always presentable, neat clothes, ironed well, and nice quality clothing he used to wear. And people often used to invite him in their gatherings, you know, dawat or invitations. So once he was invited for a meal, and it was a wedding. So they invited him for a meal. In fact, what happened that day, that he didn't have any of his clothes available. They were either in the washing or they were still on the line, never dried up and so on. You know how it goes.
Right.
So what happened was he just wore any clothes. It wasn't ironed. It wasn't looking good. And he wore it, you know, because people had invited him. He respected the invite. So he was there. When he came there, nobody is greeting him. Nobody is welcoming him. It is as if he has become a changed person, right? So he felt out of place. What has gotten into people? Don't they know that I'm here? People usually paid him respect. They greeted him wherever he went. So he came to realize, oh, I see. There's only one different thing that I've done today, is that I haven't clothed myself appropriately, you know. I haven't worn appropriate clothing for the occasion. And that's why people even fail to recognize me, because I'm not having the same stylish clothes that I always used to have. He took out one of his clothing and he ironed it nicely. Then he attired himself properly and he came back to the wedding. Now everybody is greeting, Subhanallah, you came, it's nice to see you. Welcome.
Allah.
And he has received this grand welcome. And it's time to eat. So he had a sleeve. So he loosened his sleeve. And he's feeding his sleeve instead of feeding himself. He's feeding his sleeve. He said, it is not me who's invited here. It is your invitation. You must eat. It's not me who's invited. Because early on I was here, they failed to recognize me. Now that I am here, it's because of you that I have gotten this respect. So it is actually you who's invited, not me. So materialism, you know,
Right.
If we immerse in this, we lose the value of people, our loved ones.
Yes.
If you start to see people with the lens of materialism, this is what happens. Mm. You judge someone according to the amount of wealth they have, or the type of clothing they wear, or the type of house they come from, you know, affluent houses, or the type of jewelry sometimes you wear,
right,
the type of brand you wear, the type of house you live in. All of this, it actually defines you.
100%.
In a materialistic world. But in the court of Allah, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala define us? Let's listen to a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your faces. Neither does He look at your wealth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks at your actions. Allahu Akbar. He doesn't need to see how good we are looking, you know, because He knows us inside out. He knows us more than, better than we know ourselves. He's our creator, subhanallah. And we can fool everyone, but not Him, our creator. So yes, be true to yourself, true to your value. Yes, people sometimes will love you, people, the same people will discard you the next day. But Allah, once Allah loves you, you become His, He will instill your love in the hearts of people. Subhanallah, you don't need expensive clothing, you don't need PR, you don't need all of these fancy things. Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Khaja Ghari Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala, look at the simplicity of their lives. The kings used to come to their court while they had nothing. Subhanallah, they lived the simplest of life. There was a time when Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he used to hunt for food.
Allah.
He would go hungry for days. And this was the life of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala. Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala, he himself, he lived in poverty. But we know him as Sultanul Hind, the king of India, subhanallah. And Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, he is known in his biography, in his seerah, we see that alhamdulillah, he was striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that he didn't care for material wealth, because he was spiritually motivated. And he became Sultanul Awliya, the king of all awliya, subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And so we see, you know, with our pious predecessors, that they did not have this love for wealth or love for worldly materials, love for, you know, possessions, worldly possessions like luxuries, etc., all of these things. They did not have love for it, and you know, they were also not greedy for it. They didn't show greed. Why? Because greed, it can destroy a person.
Yes.
Greed can destroy one's iman even. And we see from the story of Bal'an bin Ba'ura,
Allah,
it's mentioned about him that Bal'an bin Ba'ura, he was known and considered to be a very pious individual. He was a scholar, he was pious, and it is mentioned also that he had knowledge of Ism-e-A'zam. But then what happened to him? What was his end result? What happened was that his nation came to him, and his nation told him to make dua against Musa alayhi salam.
Allah.
And Bal'an bin Ba'ura, at the onset, in the beginning, he said that, no, how can I make such a dua? Because he was that person that whatever dua he would make, it would be accepted. And his people knew it. So they came to him thinking that, you know, whatever dua he makes, it will be accepted. So they told him to make this dua against Musa alayhi salam, against a prophet of Allah. And Bal'an bin Ma'ura, he said, no, I can't make such a dua. He told his people that may be destroyed. How can I make such a dua? He refused him. And after, you know, after his people were nagging him, he was compelled now to tell his people that, okay, you know what, let me do istikhara. And from there, then I will know what to do. So he did istikhara and he went and he told the people that, no, I cannot go ahead with this. I cannot make dua against a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next day, his people came again to him. This time, they came with huge amounts of gifts, luxuries, you name it, whatever it may be. His people came with that to him. And they told him, supplicate to Allah against Musa alayhi salam. All these gifts that you see, all these luxuries and everything, all of it will be yours. Now what was his response? Bal'an bin Ba'ura, now he immediately got blinded. Immediately he got blinded because of seeing so much of wealth before him, so much of luxury before him, that now he can't even tell what is right, what is wrong.
Allah.
And so he told these people, okay, I will make dua against Musa alayhi salam.
Allah.
And it's mentioned that, you know, the end result of Bal'am bin Ba'ura was such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him in this way, that his tongue came out and it was hanging onto his chest. How? Because of having greed for worldly wealth.
Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from having such greed for material love. Worldly love, materialism. This is an example, a Quranic example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Holy Quran.
Subhanallah.
That this is the consequence if you are driven, if money makes your world go round.
Mm.
If materialistic values make your world go round. This is the end result. Allahu Akbar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him an example.
Yes.
Bal'am bin Ma'ura. And he will be taken to Jahannam. Whereas the dog of Ashab Kahf, he'll be taken to Jannah.
Subhanallah.
And he will be given the appearance of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. And Bal'am bin Ba'ura will be given the appearance of the dog. Greed is to desire more of something. If you have something, you want more and more and more.
Right.
You will never have enough. You'll be left wanting more and more. So in the hadith we are told that nothing can satisfy the stomach, nothing can fill the stomach of the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam except the sand of the grave.
Allahu Akbar.
And this is what we see. We see food culture. You know, many people take pleasure in calling themselves foodies nowadays, right? You see on social media and all over the internet, there is this sensation, strange sensation nowadays, to be foodie and you know, to be recognized by that. I'm a foodie.
As a title.
Meaning as somebody who's glorifying gluttony, basically. Right. I can eat so much and so on and so forth.
That too in a minute.
Yes.
Maybe 30 seconds too.
Allahu Akbar. We are moving away from the sunnah of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Few morsels of food. And that is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that few morsels of food is enough to keep your back straight.
Subhanallah.
But we tend to fill and fill and fill this pot, which will never get full. Allahu Akbar. So they in lies our salvation in following the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not be greedy. And coming to think of greed in this way, in terms of food, you know, sometimes you'll see people, they will be dishing out. And maybe at times there are different types of dishes on the table, right? And they will dish out one. They must make sure that they have dished out each and every item. Even if there's 50 items on the table, they must dish out everything. And they don't end up finishing even half of what's in their plate.
And then you'll see on their plate, it looks like a heap of a mountain.
Yes. And people, you know, there's a phrase we use for that, you know, your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
Right.
Right? Because some people eat with their eyes. They greed. The moment they see, oh, wow, let's go for it. And this is greed. And eating more than our fill it is frowned upon in Islam. It is not encouraged in. It is against the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, eating more than one's fill. And the greed of something will motivate you to have more, 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 until you can't have any more. The desire of greed can be for food, clothes, and houses, material possession, money, honor, fame, and every other blessing of Allah. Even if you ask the person who's the richest person in the world, he is wanting more. He may have trillions of dollars in his account, but he wants more.
That's the thing, Munas. You know, people think that wealth is in having more and more and more. You know, continue having more and more.
Yes.
But you know, real richness or real wealth is that, that even if you have less, you are still content with what you have.
Exactly.
So contentment is a very big thing. It's the key role over here. To avoid greed, one has to be content with what they have, whether it be less, whether it be more, no matter what it may be. But if you are content, even if you are going to sleep with say one piece of roti at night, but you are content with that, then this is your richness.
Subhanallah. And that is the contentment that we need to learn.
Yes.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he exercised contentment. And looking at his example, we should borrow from his teachings. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, Kul jahan milk aur jau ki roti ghiza, us shikam ki qanaat bila ko salam. That although he owns the entire universe, kul jahan milk aur jau ki roti ghiza, and yet he has thick loaves of barley bread to eat. And that too few morsels. Us shikam ki qanaat pila ko salam. Millions of salam on that stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and its contentment.
Subhanallah.
Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuh Mullah Ali, he very beautifully, he says the same thing as Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali has said it. He says that kabhi jau ki moti roti, तो कभी खजूर पानी तेरा ऐसा सादा खाना मदनी मदीने वाले.
सुभानअल्लाह.
सुभानअल्लाह. The beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the beautiful akhlaq of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we need to adopt if we want salvation, if we want to go ahead in life.
Yes. And you know, Munasab, that people search for happiness, you know, and they want happiness in their lives. I mean, who doesn't want happiness in their lives? And usually what the mentality or the mindset is, that happiness is if I get more and more and more. I have this today, okay, I'm happy, but I want to be more happy. I want something more than this. I want a better car, or I want a better phone, or I want better clothing, or better shoes, or better glasses, whatever it may be. Some people have this mindset that by having better or by having more, this is where my happiness is and this is what makes me happy. But true happiness lies in contentment. There is no happiness in greed. Because this case is of greed, where you want more and more. This is greed.
And you are sent pillar to post.
Yes, exactly. And in greed, there is no happiness. There's only suffering in there. There's only downfall. There's depression. There's sadness. There's loneliness in greed. But in contentment, that is where happiness is, even if there is less.
Subhanallah. So this is what we need to strive for, to have contentment of the heart. You know, people who want more, somebody said that, you know, man dies, not his desires. And this is the reality. How much, you know, do you want of something? There is an end to everything, but there is no end to our desires. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, cut down your needs and you will be rich.
Subhanallah.
You'll become rich. Why? You'll become rich by not wanting anything. You don't need anything. If you have this contentment that I have enough, alhamdulillah. You know, sometimes, okay, there is a balance, right?
Right.
Okay, there are, alhamdulillah, those people who are content and that they know they have enough.
Yes.
But then there are people, realistically speaking, who have nothing,
right,
who are destitute, in true sense,
right,
who don't have a loaf of bread to eat at times, right? They are truly needy people. And if they want, you know, one-time bread to survive, then it's not asking for too much.
We can't term that as greed.
These are the essentials, right? Right. And then you have, on the other hand, on the other spectrum, you have those who own private jets. And they still cry, "My business is down. I don't have anything. Look how poor I'm gone." Right? Sometimes some people's concept of poverty is that, look, I have to now drive a car instead of flying in the plane. Look what has befallen me. The tragedy.
That can't be, you know, someone else's blessings.
Yes. Allahu Akbar. So this is different spectrums of, you know, different kind of lifestyle. And then you have those who have enough, alhamdulillah, they can eat every day and they have the expenditure. They can wear nice clothes. They perhaps have a mode of transport. They have a nice house, alhamdulillah, good enough.
Jee.
And this is where we need to draw the line. When we are at this juncture,
right.
But you know what, after this, if you are developing a desire to have more and more and more, then you must stop to remind yourself that there is also something called enough.
Yes.
That I have enough, alhamdulillah. If somebody come ask you, "Do you have everything that you want?" Alhamdulillah, I have enough.
Right? Subhanallah.
There's something called enough.
Yes.
The sweet spot. From not having anything to having extravagance of everything, and somewhere in the middle, there is this thing called enough. I have enough, alhamdulillah. Shukr, alhamdulillah.
And we have to make use of that word.
And we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Even when we are living hand to mouth, even in that state, we need to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That doesn't mean that we must now start complaining. "Oh, I don't have anything. You know, I'm destitute, I'm poor, I don't know what to do." I mean, if you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the promise of Allah to grant you more. And if you want to have more blessings, then make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you'll see its results.
Subhanallah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to truly be content and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and break out of this trap of materialistic love. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.